Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Last week in our study of James chapter 5, we said that when we help those in need, we must be careful that we do not encourage an attitude that the church will help whenever they need it. Let's continue with that discussion today.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4, it says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Now notice, these Christians began asking the apostles, look, take this money and use it in the ministry and use it to help. And he said, but first these people gave of themselves. And when he talks about the ministering to the saints, it's interesting because the word saints has the same Greek word as is often translated holy. Now, remember, it is a sin to throw away things that God has entrusted us with, that he wants us to use for his glory. Someone may have need, but yet if they're not temperate, if they don't have good control, then you may not be helping them by just giving them money. It may be prolonging the way they do things. For example, a person comes into the church and says, my electric's about to be cut off. Please help me with my electric. And so they pay for his electric bill. 3 months later, he's about ready to have his electric turned off once again. Why? Because he has not learned how to live within his means. So when a church continually helps a person like that, they're not helping them, okay? They are not helping them at all, because that person is missing a spiritual principle of temperance. And so the Bible laid out several things. If a man will not work, he should not eat. And so the Bible, in telling us to help others in need, also qualifies that. And we just don't throw away the money of the Lord. It must be used wisely. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7, it says this, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, let's just look at that a moment. First of all, we need to see that this idea of reaping and sowing, our reaping time is not in this life. Our reaping time is in the life to come. Now you hear people say, well, tithing was under the law. Well, actually, we find both Abraham and Jacob both paid tithes before the law. So that's not exactly right. And then Jesus also commended tithing. But the people that talk about it may have a point in just saying that, all right, you got to give a tenth. And that almost sounds like it's grudging. My friend, the tenth is just a starting point for us as Christians today in this New Testament era. That's just a starting point, and to our local church. And then he says, as he purposeth in his heart. In other words, this guy says, I want to help God's work as much as possible at home and around the world. And so his heart is just open. Lord, what would you have me to do with my income? And so this person does not give grudgingly. He's not saying, look, if I give an extra $20 per week to missions above my tithe and offering, I won't be able to golf. I won't be able to have a swimming pool. I won't be able to do these things each week that I like to do. Maybe going to a real nice restaurant each week. And I won't get to do those things if I give that to missions. And the person that thinks that has no idea that that very thought is going to be made manifest in eternity, and we're going to look so very selfish. We look at Philippians 4, 16 through 19, and I find this is interesting also. It says, "For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now, here's a group that sent to the necessity for the missionary work in Thessalonica. And they sacrificed to do that. And so this church at Philippi, he tells them, he says, look, it's not because I desired a gift, but I wanted fruit that would abound to your account, that I told you about these missions and about the need that was there. He says, I have what I need. But basically, that gift that was sent from you was able to help us do so much more. He called it an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. You know, he is likening giving unto a sweet incense offering of the Old Testament. And that's a sacrifice. A lot of people do not give sacrificially. Well, this sweet smell unto the Lord are people that went above and beyond their tithe and gave to the work of missions. I hope your church is missionary minded and gives to missions. But just understand, the Lord likens our tithe and offering the same as the Old Testament incense worship offering. What we do too often is we try to see what is the most expensive house that we can live in and the best car that we can have for the income that we have. And in doing that, we're not thinking of what belongs to the Lord. We're just thinking of the total income. And then after car and house, if there's anything left to give to the Lord, then we will. And that, my friend, is wrong. Now, let us see the accusations about the rich here in verses 4 through 6 here of chapter 5. He says, "Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you." Now, let us see the accusations that are here. Some ask, well, what harm, as long as you don't spend more than you have, what harm is it going in for these other things? God does not forbid his pleasure, and that's true. But to live in them as if we live for nothing else, with the excuse that the pleasures are in and of themselves not evil, is the very God-provoking sin, because we're living to consume it upon our lust. The Lord says, at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And see, what it is that our flesh is getting pleasure instead of our spirit. And we are seeking to satisfy the flesh instead of the spirit. A man that is living to satisfy the flesh will not find it pleasurable at the right hand of the Father. He just doesn't find that pleasurable because he lacks the capacity. He lacks the spiritual maturity. And my friend, we must learn to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. Now, again, we think of the man, the rich man, that was building his barns, was building bigger barns. Bigger barns is not what we call vile. Bigger barns are not what we call wicked. We may even say it's wise. But you see, that man was looking for his own pleasure and his own promotion. It's harm when people make gods of their bellies. And for that matter, our bodies in general, when we find people that they start going to the gym, and that becomes the first thing in their life, physical fitness. 2 hours and sometimes more than that a day. And they spend this money on gymnasiums and then on special foods and vitamins and nutrients and all that. And, oh, they're going all out for this thing. And they say, well, my body's a temple of God and I've got to take care of it. And we do need to take care of the temple of God. But you know what? That same person will become more uptight if they miss working out than they will if they miss a time in the Word of God each day. Now, we do need to take care of the body. But it is secondary, not primary. No matter how well you take care of this body, one day, if the Lord tarries, this body is going to pass away. Now, it is a sin to be a glutton. And it is a sin to mistreat this body, to affect it with drugs and alcohol and tobacco. And it is a sin to just sit around and allow our bodies to grow fat and not to get out and do some work and to try to be reasonable in our eating and staying in shape. Yes, that is a sin. But my friend, physical fitness is not what we live for. And so we so often find that men give to their pleasures instead of abounding in acts of charity and love. In Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49, we learn something about Sodom. Now, so often we mention Sodom, and all we think about is homosexuality. But listen to this from Ezekiel 16, verse 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride. That's high-mindedness, okay? Pride. Fullness of bread. In other words, they were rich. And abundance of idleness. They lived for pleasure. There was a lot of pleasure and not as much work. This country at one time, you worked 6 days a week, 10, 12 hours a day. And now we see farmers are still doing that, but so much of this country now is it's 40 hours and then less if they can work it out, and so that they'll have time for all their games and toys and whatever else they have. And so the problems of Sodom, according to Ezekiel 16:49, was pride, riches or fullness of bread, and the abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. In other words, the cares of this life were more important than the real issues. And they lost their heart of charity and love. The Bible does not discourage the acquiring of wealth. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.